You know, there's something so special taking place in the world today. People that have gone to church for years and years, people that have had various dogmas or creeds that they had been following, people that had a certain faith in following the steps of their parents or their grandparents, are finding a new awakening taking place in their heart. God is putting His finger on thousands, on millions of lives, and they're finding they're not being turned away from things that are real to them, but they're finding a sense of incompleteness. This awakening is causing them to reach out and to look out, see if there isn't something more that God has for them. And as a result, what has been termed for many, many years the nominal Christian is beginning to find a new stir as the life of Jesus touches them, and they have awakened and they have met God, and their religion turns into a relationship. When you meet Jesus, that's exactly what happens. The definition of religion tells us what it is. Religion will never save anyone, though religion acts as an anchor point for many, many people. Religion is a system of faith and of worship. It's a system of rites and ritual, of dogma, of creed, of liturgy, and of discipline. Religion is something that has become a binding substitute for a God-ordained relationship. Before Jesus came, God, in an effort to point people to His plan, instituted a religion for the Hebrew people. And it was filled with forms and with ritual. Other types of religions, based on followers, depending on the country, Confucius, Mohammed, Allah, all of these various people, they have their religions. In fact, there are so many different kinds of religions in the world today, you'd have a hard time identifying all of them. I read recently that in India alone, there are over 800,000 separate gods that people have chosen to worship. Each individual, many individual homes have decided to pick some object and call that object their God. But God has so clearly stated, Hebrews, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse, He said that the old laws, the old ritual, the old religion that was written on tables of stone that became such a binding way for the children of Israel that they could not even abide by the laws, He said He had taken them out of the way and instead had written on their hearts, brought them into a relationship with Himself, and He said, I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. We'll change religion into a relationship. They will be mine. I will be theirs. Praise God. I would like to have you turn in your Bibles now to a verse of Scripture over in Isaiah, chapter 57. We're going to give you a number of verses this morning to follow along. I trust that God will minister to our hearts as we look at the relationship that the Lord desires for us to have. Now, Father, as we look into Your Word, I pray that You'll make it live to us. Father, I realize that how strong religion is. I realize the grip and the hold that that certain practices and faiths have. But I ask today that you will cause these things to become a stepping stone into a new, wonderful relationship with God Himself, where we can become members of the family of God, where we will appreciate our position as children of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Reading verse 15. For thus saith the High and the Holy One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and a holy place. God's throne, God's dwelling place in heaven. With him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I want you to think of God as awesome as he really is. Think of the great creator of the universe. I want you to think of the literally billions and billions of stars out there. I want you to think of the orbit that has been designed for each one, of the universes that exist. Think of the vastness. Let your head spin just a little bit as you think about how big it is out there. Mentally travel out there. How about, let's for a starter, say 10 trillion miles. And draw a line. Take a fast rocket out there in a couple of million years. Take another look out there. And you'll find just as much on the other side. When you stop and think about it, can you comprehend space? How far does it go this direction? Go as far as you can imagine. Draw a line. What's on the other side of the line? Go this direction. Draw a line. What's on the other side of that line? Go this way. This way. Every direction. I'll tell you, it is vast. It's beyond our comprehension. But listen. When we think of one personality being in control of the whole thing, that makes God look awfully big, doesn't it? I think of a verse of Scripture in Isaiah that tells us that God measures all of the vast heavens with the span of His hand, from the tip of His finger to the tip of His thumb. That's a good-sized hand. God is big. God is mighty. And if he didn't control those things, think of all the collisions you'd be having all the time. In fact, God's plan is so intricate that the entire universe moves like a clock, like the fine machinery of a clock. We have some very, very fine watches being made today. They used to talk about the Hamilton Railroad watch being absolutely the very best. That watch would not lose 1 minute in a whole month's time. In fact, some of the old railroaders used to take those watches out and wind them, and in a bragging mood, they'd say, "Why, that watch of mine, in fact, doesn't. If I never did set it, it wouldn't lose over 2 or 3 minutes or gain 2 or 3 minutes in a whole year." Boy, that is a watch. But now they have some watches that have made out of different material and pick up different signals. I don't know how they operate, but nevertheless, they're even more accurate. They may only lose a minute a year. But they have to have something that they can set even the most accurate watches to. When that watch would only gain or lose a minute a year, you got to find out which way it's going and have something to set it by. And you can't pull out a dollar watch and say, "Well, I'm going to set it by that." What would they use to set the most accurate watch in the whole world with? Anybody have an idea? They set it by God's big clock. because it doesn't lose or gain a bit. Can you imagine that? This universe, as big and as vast as it is, it just stays right on all the time. It's so accurate that they have instruments where they can count back down through the years, 2,000 years, 3,000 years, 4,000 years, and they can tell you exactly where each star was in relation to other stars at a given time. Somebody has even invented a little model that you can adjust it to given spots and times, and you create by turning to the certain knobs and dials, create the heavens the way they are on any given day, clear on back, just by adjusting them. All you need to do is to get a couple of them in the right spots in relation to each other, and you know all the rest of them are going to be right there because they don't change. Isn't God a big God? That's God. That's the great creator. And people recognize there has to be a creator. The great creator, many of them know him as creator. But can you imagine this now? This great creator that dwells in a high and holy place somewhere, I don't know just exactly where, running all this, told me that I want to live inside of your house, in your home. And so, I'd just like to tell you this today. You may not have realized this, but if you love God, this one that's in charge of everything is living in your house. Great God, I dwell in this place, but also with you to revive you, to help you, to strengthen you. Then he tells all the good things he does for us. When we think of God, I want you to think of this personal relationship now. He is your personal God. He belongs to you. When you think, you don't have to say, like some of the writers, he's the God of Abraham. He's Abraham. God met him. Or he's a God of Isaac. He's a God of Jacob. But you can say, he's my God. My God. In him, I'm going to trust. Beautiful relationship. When we think of God, we think of worship. Every person that is born in this life has inside of them a little sanctuary that's built, God-shaped. I don't know what shape God is, but I know that he's the only one can fit in there, fill all the corners. You put anything else in there, and it's like putting a piece of a picture puzzle that's cut a little bit wrong. It just doesn't quite fit. And the world today keeps cramming something else in that void God left for himself. It's there. Man has to have an object, somebody to worship, somebody to fill that void. And they're reaching first one thing and then another. But it's God-shaped. And a man or a woman will never be completely happy and satisfied and fulfilled until God comes in and takes the place, until he's invited in and takes that place. And then it is not just knowing that he's there. It's not just having some ritual to follow, but it's becoming related to him. He is my God, my very own God. Talk about worship. Worship is so important. True worship. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And in our day, there is a great new awareness of the meaning and the value of worship. We can worship God as you're doing now, seated, listening to the Word of God. You worship him in singing. These boys and girls, or these girls, at this meeting the other night, worship God. One of the girls told me that it was 2:30 in the morning, and Jesus came, filled her with the Spirit. They were worshiping. The leader of the missionettes in our class this morning made a statement that time stopped with these kids because they were in worship. You know, when you're just loving Jesus, it turns into a little bit of eternity. Time somehow stops. And it becomes a state of being. You're in His presence. You're loving Him. Oh, how we need worship. We're living in such a busy, such a rushed world. We must have time just to quiet our hearts and just worship our God alone. Not just the whole church, but we need that secret place, that place of quiet rest, drawing from Him. When God says, I am your God, I'm going to live with you, God is telling you, He belongs to you. He is your personal God.
When we think of God, it also speaks of a real respect.
Respect because of who He is. Respecting His laws, His desires,
His person, His house. Respecting His warnings. When we think of God, it not only speaks of worship and respect, but it speaks of reverence.
And I'd like to mention, stop here just a minute.
We're coming to a point in just a moment showing you how God does want us to be relaxed in His presence.
But there is a difference between being relaxed and not having respect and not having reverence. And I would say one of the key dangers of some of the casual ways that people look at God and think of God today is the lack of respect that sometimes enters in. Ways that we associate the blessing of God, tying it in with something that may not even be acceptable as far as our lives are concerned. It's easy to show a lack of respect, a lack of reverence, in an effort to lean away from the bondage of ritual and formalism, lean clear over and bring God into disrespect. But because of who He is, you can show the utmost respect for Him and still be totally relaxed. God, you believe that? Sure we can. God wants us to know who He is. He wants us to show this reverence.
Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. Boys and girls, you got your Bibles handy? I'd like to have you flip over to these verses because I want you to know where they are. I want everybody to mark them down because this is so important. When we think about God, we think of reverence. Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.
We need to be reminded of the reverence to God, reverence to His house, reverence to the things of God,
not taking the things of God too lightly. This is very, very important. Remember this, boys and girls. When you want to run in this place where God dwells, just and tear around and showing disrespect, making noise when you shouldn't be making noise, remember, respect and reverence are so important because He is your God. You can literally say, God, you're my God. Not just moms and dads, like some of them used to say, the God of our fathers. He's your God today, not only your mother and your dads.
It also speaks of a trust and a confidence that God will finish what He started.
Then I'd like you to notice some other areas. He's our Lord.
Do you know that I counted? I had to count with a ruler. I measured the columns. and found out how much many were in each inch, how many references to Lord in a big concordance. And I got page after page after page after page. I measured, I multiplied the number of columns with the number of times they were listed there, and I came to 6,800 times he's spoken of as Lord in the Bible. The Lord means, hey God, you're not only my God, but you're also my master. The word Lord means master. That means we're his servant. And he said, as because he is our master, he wants us to walk with him, to do those things that he tells us. Not only is he our God, our master, but listen to this. Everybody needs a good friend. And this relationship says, I want to be your friend. John, I'm not going to turn to these verses. You may turn to them. I'm just going to make reference to them. John 15, 14 and 15. Jesus said, I have called you friends. Now, not only am I your God out there that you might worship, but I'm coming a little closer to you now. I'm your master. Now I'm your friend. And as a friend, Proverbs 18:24 said that there is one friend that sticks closer than a brother. So Jesus is with us. Matthew 28:20, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, because I am with you, you don't need to be afraid what anybody can do to you, because I am with you. I mentioned this before, but I mention it again. That this relationship is so beautiful to know that he is with us. He's our not only our friend, but, you know, members of your family can be a friend too. He's our elder brother. And for you boys and girls, I want to tell you a story that happened when I was just a kid, about 8 years old, going to school, riding a school bus. I was always in trouble with big bullies. I don't know how come I attracted bullies like honey attracts flies. And I don't know, maybe like attracts like. I might have probably bothered those that were littler than me. But anyway, we had a big bully on the bus named Lester Hedrick. And Lester Hedrick used to take my thumb and he'd bend it back till it would pop. And it still, you can look at that. Lester Hedrick did that. He did it on both of them. He used to torment the daylights out of me. And I'd hate to ride home. Sometimes I'd walk the 3 or 4 miles just to get away from old Lester. He'd always find a place by me, and if it wasn't empty, he'd move the person, and he'd sit down there. And I tell you, it was literally awful for me to ride home. One day, I had an older brother. Always rode his bicycle, never rode the bus. I couldn't get him to ride the bus. He'd ride the bicycle. And my brother isn't really a very big man, but he was sure a big boy. At least I thought he was, because he was 8 years older than me. And instead of getting his shoes half-soled to the shoemaker, he cut out big old pieces of a tire, Goodyear tire, heavy tread, and he'd nail those on the bottom of his shoes. Boy, they were thick. About like that. One day, his bicycle broke down. I knew about it. Lester didn't know about it. And so my brother, he didn't know that I was going to get him involved in anything, but I made it a point this time to look Lester up and get where Lester was. And I tormented that man, that young fellow. He's about 17 years old. I tormented him until he couldn't stand it. He was going to tear me limb from limb. His place to get out of the bus was just one stop before I got out. But I wasn't afraid of him at all. He wondered, what on earth has come over you, you little coward? You, what are you doing here? And when we got just ready to get out of the bus, he started yanking me with him. He was going to really give me what for. And all at once, I saw Lester Hedrick take a little orbit out of that bus with a great big Goodyear tire tread pushing him. He wore Goodyear tire tread on his where he sits down for a long time. But I suddenly wasn't afraid anymore because I knew my big brother was there on the bus with me. So I wasn't afraid. And what Paul tells us there, we don't need to be afraid now. What man can do to us when we know that we have our big brother there. He is there. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He said, you don't need to be afraid because your big brother's there with you. And he has ways and means of handling situations. Then the last relationship that I feel is so important. Not only is he your friend, but this is the best of all. David discovered this in Psalms 103 and verse 13, where he said, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities those that love him. Jesus was praying one day, and just before he was going to go to the cross, he was under tremendous pressure in his heart, and he said, I want to have a visit with my Father. I need special strength. And there's such a good relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. So he went alone and kneeled down. And he, instead of just talking to God like he usually did, he used a special word. He said, Abba, Father. I'm preparing for this, but you will be with me. He called him Abba, Father. That word Abba means my very own personal Father. It's one thing for God to be your God. Another thing for Him to be your Lord and your friend. But stop and think about this. He said He wanted to be our Father, born into His family, members of His big family, His own children. Oh, what a difference this is than just having a religion that has some forms and other things, but no real personal relationship. That religion takes on meaning when it becomes a personal relationship. My very own Father. Somebody has said, whatever term you use to call your dad, in enduring terms, and it's not a show of disrespect, Jesus was saying, Dad, I'm coming to you now. I need a little special help. If you call your father Dad, think of the warmth, think of the meaning that word has. When you can add that word, Abba, God, you're not only controlling all those stars and everything out there, all this world and all the things you've got to do, you live at my house and you're my father. Personal Father. How does that make you feel? He lives at your house. Praise God. Then in Romans 8, 14 to 17, Paul is telling us that that we can, because God has given us the spirit of adoption, He's brought us right into His family, we can use the same term, Abba, Father. And Galatians 4, 6, he said, He said to make it all the more real so that you won't just have to hold your tongue in your cheek and say, well, I'll do it because you say to do it. No, God said He gave us the spirit of His Son, Jesus, down inside. So now we can really say it and say it right because we have the very spirit that said it in Jesus' life. And we can say, Abba, Father. That word's only used three times in the Bible. But it denotes the very closest, most wonderful relationship you could possibly have. A place of respect, of love, of loyalty. Serving Him, not out of fear, but because we love Him. That close, wonderful relationship. It speaks of, and this wraps all of the other things up together. God isn't it four in four different pieces. But he's known to us in all four of these ways, where we can have the love for our Father, our respect, our reverence, confidence, and we can still be at ease with him. Ted, would you come up here for a minute? Ted's used to getting put on the spot. It started when he was real young. I was going to say when he was small, but he was never very small.
But you can tell by looking that if Ted wanted to, he's big enough and strong enough to take me and tie me into a pretzel. Probably beat me up and drive me into the ground, because he's big and he's strong. But still, as Ted was growing up, and he still does, there's a wonderful relationship. And Ted did what I asked him to do, not because I was bigger and stronger than him. Ted respected me as his father. And he still does. Ted and I still have some real good talks. He asks me various things. We communicate with things. But the thing that is so beautiful to me is Ted doesn't speak to me in disrespect just because he's at ease around me. Ted shows terrific respect, love. He shows confidence in me, but he's still totally at ease.
Right. Praise God. That's it. Praise God.
I want you to know that's the kind of same kind of confidence. That's okay, Ted. This was the shortest sermon you ever preached.
But I want you to know, this is the same kind of confidence. To be totally at ease, not afraid, doesn't mean that you have to lean clear over the other way in an area of disrespect, lack of reverence. Because I can actually feel the respect. And I know you parents feel the same way, and you love the respect. But you still, there's not one parent here that wants to have their child or their children cringe in fear to be able to say, my family is the most obedient family in the world. That better be. They might be while you're around them. They might be on the outside while their heart is seething. But God has something better for his people. Hallelujah. God wants us to enter into a relationship when we have a need or a problem to come and say, Dad, I don't know how to handle this. That may not be the term. It may not be familiar with you. Father, I don't know how to handle this. I need a little special help. And you can chat, you can visit. When we went to Germany, I told the German congregations about how I felt about God after that experience I had with them. I told them how that God told me, you can't prove anything to me anyway, just be at ease and relax, be yourself. So I told them, I'm just being myself. There was a real godly woman. I didn't meet her, but I heard about her. Had done quite a good work in Germany. She didn't have a chance to meet me or hear it in the context of what I gave it. But she put out a warning through central Germany to different congregations around. She said, beware of that man that comes from the United States. That is so at ease around God. I don't remember the words she used, but I went to different congregations, and they were all ready for me, and she did a lot of good publicity for me. They came out, they wanted to see who this fellow was. That was so at ease around God. But God wants you to know. He occupies all four positions at once. As our God, he has to have that respect, that love, that reverence. As our Father, He wants that trust, that love, that warmth, that obedience. As your Lord and Master, He wants your service. He wants your loyalty. Praise God. As your friend, He said, I'm going to be with you, closer than a brother. I like a translation in Philippians 4 and verse 5, where He tells us, the Lord is at hand. There is a translation that says, the Lord is at your elbow. He's right there. During those times, ladies, when you're going through all those strains, when you feel like you're going to tear your hair out, the kids have been so ornery, and they've spilled the wash water. If you have wash water anymore, I guess that doesn't work. That's an old one. When they've gotten into the cooking materials and mixed up a mess of stuff and got it all over the place, when they've been out in the mud, they've tramped their muddy feet on the floor, and there's a lot of other things that can happen. I know that it's exasperating, but I want you to know, Jesus said, I'm standing right at your elbow. I'm right there. Hallelujah. I'm your friend. I'm your friend. I'm your Father. I'm your Lord. I am your God. Ooh, hallelujah. Can you see? Relationship sure means a lot more than religion, doesn't it? And this is what's happening around the world today. Religion is having to back up and give place to relationship. And if you have had a lot of religion, but you haven't yet had a relationship, you haven't met Him, He's not real in your life, today, open up your heart and say, I accept you as my Lord and my God. Praise God. Shall we bow our hearts? We're going to have a communion time together now. I know that the Lord is here. I trust that these words will have real special meaning in your hearts. Praise God. Jesus, our hearts are bowed before You. We thank You for this special communion time. I ask that as we partake, that this communion service will take on brand new meaning to us. That we will see what it means that You choose to be all of these things to us. You see, folks, when we hold communion in our hands, and we look to God, we say, God, this glass is a symbol of what You have done, of Your blood. Today, I choose to put my faith in Your blood. You're not eating and drinking, as some have said, damnation. You're not bringing a curse on your life. You're showing the part of wisdom in accepting the only way that there is, your faith in His blood. Jesus said, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're remembering His death, what He's done for you, till He comes again. Just before our brethren come, I'd like to ask, I feel this is so important. I feel prompted by the Lord to do this. That there may be some here today who have had religion, but there's such a longing in your heart to get to know Him as your own personal God. Your Father. You want relationship. You want to give place with your religion too, this wonderful relationship. You want it to be replaced with it. I'd like to see your hands through this building. You want to know Him in that real, close, wonderful way. God's brought you here today. As I see this man here, yes, and this young man, God bless you, young man. Are there others? How about up in the balcony? Yes, there's a number of hands there. Yes, I see your hand. You may take it down. Are there others? You want to replace just religion with that beautiful relationship. I see your hand. God bless this mother. Are there others? I wanted to give you this opportunity. Yes, I see this father back here, this husband. Amen. Are there still others that feel? Yes. All right, over here. God bless you. Are there others here on my left? I haven't looked over here yet. There may be a number on this side. God, I believe that these lives were drawing near to you. They were not only lifting hands, but they were reaching toward you. You saw them. And today, a new relationship is being formed. And today, they're going to enjoy the benefits and the richness of being a part of the family of God. With brothers and sisters who love you. And a heavenly Father who watches over them. An elder brother, Jesus, who's gone on before. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our brethren to come now and we will serve you communion. We ask that you hold your communion till all have been served and then we will partake together. This is not a closed communion. If you desire to put your faith in what Jesus has done instead of what you have been able to produce, you want to tell the Lord today by taking of this cup, we invite you to partake of it, regardless of whether you've ever been to church before or not. Regardless of what church background you may have had, you're welcome. We invite you to partake with us. Praise God. Something special happens as we partake of communion. God lets you see how clear the record is. Not one thing against you. When you partake of the broken bread, it's a symbol of His body. He said new health and strength will come to you. I want you to expect it as you partake of these emblems of His broken body.
The busy streets and sidewalks, they suddenly grew still as a man came through the entrance of the city. As he touched and healed a blind man with a little piece of clay, with trembling lips you could hear the people say, Jesus, He is the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, the precious Son of God. Sweetest Rose of Sharon came to make us free. Jesus, Jesus, He's everything to me. Yes, He's all the world to me. There are footprints in the sand along the Sea of Galilee, where thousands came to hear and came to see Him. There He taught of love and kindness, yes, He brought a better way. As He spoke, they'd turn and whisper, and they'd say, He is the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, the precious Son of God. Sweetest Rose of Sharon, He came to set us free. Jesus, Jesus, He's everything to me. Yes, He's all the world to me.
And when the hour was come, He sat down with the 12 disciples and said with them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And He took the bread and He broke it and blessed it and said, This is my body which I am giving for you. He took the cup and said, This is my new covenant with man that I've written in my own blood, which I shall shed for you.
Then the air grew cold and the sky turned black, and they nailed him to a tree. There he died for every man and every country. But the price he paid and the blood he shed is changing lives today. And with joy and praise you can hear these changed ones say, Jesus, Jesus, he is the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, the precious Son of God. He's the sweetest rose of Sharon. He has made me free. Jesus, Jesus, you're everything to me. Yes, you're all the world to me. Jesus, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, Jesus, the precious Son of God. The sweetest rose of Sharon came and made me free. Jesus, Jesus, you're everything to me. Yes, you're all the world to me. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
At this moment of sacred hush that's in the building, from your hearts, would you just look up to the Father? Thank Him that He cared enough about you to want to live with you, to take you into His family, to make you His very own. Why don't you let Him hear? In fact, over this whole building, let that murmur of voices be heard, telling, expressing to Him your love. My very own Father. Express that to Him right from your heart. Oh, Jesus. My very own Father. You care for us. You know. You're able to help me. No longer a distant knowledge of you, just a distant relationship, but I'm in your family. You're my Father. I love you for it. Now, Father, we thank you today that you loved us enough as your children. Your desire to bring us into your family, that you gave Jesus that we might have life. And our faith today is not in what we have done, but it's in the blood of Jesus. And as we partake today, may every trace of guilt, may every bit of fear be gone, because Jesus paid it all. Our record is clear. The damning evidence against us has been destroyed because Jesus took our place. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Make it real to us as we partake at this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us drink together. Now, our Father, as we take this bread, may it have special meaning to us. because it speaks of the life of Jesus that is presently ours, that will combat and destroy the germs and the seeds of death within us. And as we partake of this symbol, I pray that a giant wave of your life will flow over this entire congregation right now, in Jesus' name, as we partake. Amen. Let us eat together. Jesus. We're going to sing that chorus together. Jesus paid it all. Would you lift your hands with me while we sing?
Jesus paid it.
Father, I thank you now for those who have listened to your call and this day have entered into a new relationship with you, members of the family of God. We welcome them as our brothers, as our sisters. Praise God, praise God. We're glad that you're not only the awesome, far-off Creator, but you live with us today. We place ourselves in your care. I ask that this day will be a precious day because we have met with you, because we know you are with us. Bring us back to the house tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.